Day and night cultures and two day and night ethnic groups, and the Indians were brought in by the British government for the sugarcane industry back in the 1800s, and they've been there for several hundred years. And Indians are usually Hindus or Muslims, and then the Fijians are very religious, being Methodist or Catholics or Charismatics. And so Fiji is kind of a very religious nation, so to speak. Everybody goes to church Sunday. And the Hindus are always worshiping something. And of course, the Muslims are always praying five times a day, starting at 5 o'clock in the morning. And so it's a challenge to get people to church and get people saved. When I was knocking doors in Las Vegas during my college years, I would rather have somebody tell me in my face that I'm not interested. You know, and that's fine. I'll go to the next door. Amen. But in Fiji, you can sit down and win 10 people to Christ on a soul winning every day if you go out every day. But it's hard for them to realize that they need to come and grow in Christ and follow the step of baptism, like the Word of God says, and be able to convince them that they need to be in church to grow in the Lord, if you understand what I'm saying. And so you can, you know, invite people to church, and you can canvass thousands and thousands of gospel tracts and knock on doors on a daily basis, but to be able to convince people to make that first step of obedience unto Christ and come to church is a struggle. And so, and I guess it's the same everywhere, but, you know, Fiji is that way. So if you can pray for us that despite that hardship, that we will still be focused on the ones that are coming. Amen. We were on the phone yesterday with my assistant there, and they had over 50 people in church, which is a good number on a Sunday morning. And so we thank God for that. Pray for the islands. I'm not sure if you've been updated with the news. 3 weeks ago, Fiji was hit by a Category 5 cyclone and really devastated out town, the western side of the main island and some other islands as well. And so the place out town looks like a war zone with things demolished from the ground level. And so our church there at Liberty, with the help of churches, they are delivering bread and butter and a copy of John and Romans almost on a daily basis now. And so far, they've delivered to over 1,600 homes, taking not just bread and butter, but the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. A few years ago, we did the same thing. When there was a big flood in our town, we also did delivery of bread and butter and John and Romans, and we still hear about those. Amen. And so we're praying that this effort that we're doing will not just realize that, tell people that there is a God in heaven who's in control of everything, but they will also come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. pray for us as we finish off our deputation and follow. We've got a few more weeks to go. We've been on the road for about 11 months. And how many of you have gone on vacation? And then after you've gone for a week or two, you're ready to come home. Well, we've been ready to go home. Amen. So pray for us as we finish off this trip. I was telling Brother Flanagan here, we go to Hobbs this week. And then after Hobbs, we go to Amarillo, Texas. From Amarillo, we go to Bridgeport. From Bridgeport, Texas, we go to, Rio Queen, Arkansas. And after Arkansas, we head back to Sacramento. By the time, that'll be the half month of April. And then we'll be done getting ready to go back to the field on April 27th. So we're looking forward to that. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter number 1, if you have your Bibles. Good to see my good friend, Brother Gerald, back there. We've been talking on the phone And good to see him come to church today. He lives in Carlsbad, and what a blessing for him to be here. Him and his family were in Las Vegas when I was working at Liberty there, and I think last saw him about 20 years ago. Now we just saw him again today. And so he's helped us some with our work there in Fiji, so appreciate that, brother. And now you've come to see the investment of your giving. Amen? And so pray that he'll come back and make Landmark Baptist Church his home church. Amen? And pray for him and his family. Acts 1:8, if you have your Bibles. I think you stand in honor of God's word here this evening, if you're able to. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Let's read that together. Ready, begin. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the outermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you will use the word of God to challenge us. Thank you for Landmark Baptist Church. Dear God, I pray that you will just use this message to challenge our people. Lord, I pray that you will speak to our hearts. Hide me behind the cross. Heavenly Father, thank you for the last command, which is the first commission that you've given us to the local church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In Acts chapter 1, in verse number 8, we see that the writing is in red. Can you see that in your Bible? Which means that the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. Is that right? If you went to Sunday school or you've learned anything about the Bible, you know that when Jesus' words are in red, you know that he is speaking. He is speaking here to his disciples. And he's telling them that he is about to go. I'm about to leave. And I'm going to send you another comforter. And by the way, these are people that has hung around Jesus Christ for almost 3.5 years. These are people that have hung around the Lord Jesus Christ and seen his miracles. They've seen Jesus feed the 5,000. They've seen Jesus, take Lazarus out of the grave. They've seen Jesus, make the dumb speak and the deaf hear and the blind see. And these are people that been comfortable with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, is here and is giving them the commission, and he's telling them, I'm about to go. I'm about to leave. And we look back in the Gospels and we see in John chapter 14, verse number 16, the Bible says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's telling them, I'm going to go, I'm going to send you another comforter, and he will abide with you forever. I don't know about you, but if you read between the lines, the disciples are probably saying, Lord, you're not going anywhere. As far as I'm concerned, probably Peter, the smart aleck one, we all know, if you know Peter's life, he's probably the one that, first off right the back, Brother Flanagan, that said, no, you're not going anywhere, Jesus. We see that Jesus says, I'm going to go, and he's talking. I always like to put it this way. Jesus Christ is talking to the members of the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. Amen? Amen? At this point, the church has already started. The church has already been in existence. And he's talking to the members of the first church. On the side note, you need to realize that it says that, well, he doesn't say it's the church he's talking to. Well, at that time, he didn't have to identify which church it was. That was the only church. He didn't have to say whether it was a Presbyterian or whether it was an Anglican or whatever it is. That was the First Baptist Church of Jerusalem. You say amen to that? Amen. And so he's talking to them, and he's telling them he's living. And then in verse number 11 of Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that as he is being ascended into heaven, he is being escorted by angels, and the angels are looking at them and telling them, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." And when he was ascended at that time, we thank God, like the Flanagans just sang, we're still looking for the trumpet sound. We're not looking for any signs. Hello? We're looking for that shout. We're looking for the trumpet sound. We're looking for Jesus Christ to return, and the church will be what? We'll be caught up in the air with him. Can you say amen? And that's what we're looking forward to. When he left this day, he hasn't come back yet. And he will come. And the Bible says even the angels do not know my return. And when he, like I said, this is his last command. And this is the New Testament church's first commission. We have been given a command. We have been given a task. We have been told, but ye shall receive power. I'd like to ask you a question. The question is this. When did you receive that power? Does anybody ask you that question? When did I receive that power? When I got saved, that's when I got that power. Amen? Almost 25 years ago, when I got saved back in June of 1994, I was working as a bank officer there in the islands. I worked at one of the Australian banks over there. And then when I got saved, I was one of those guys that just ran to the cross. Amen. I wanted to know Jesus. I wanted to know him better. I wanted to get closer to the cross as much as I could. I did not know anything about full-time ministry, Brother McKinley. I did not know that you can serve the Lord full-time. I just wanted to know him better. I just wanted to get close to the cross. I wanted to serve him. I wanted to, I told my preacher, I said, whatever needs to be done in church, you know, let me know. And, I was still a single man, and I was 22 years old, and I got saved, and I turned a new leaf. Like 2 Corinthians 5:17. When any man comes to Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, everything becomes new. And that was Navimbola. I wanted to make everything new. A year later, I have been trying to memorize scripture. And then a year later, I surrendered to preach. I had some Bible college students. They came from Pacific Coast, Baptist Bible College, down over there in San Dimas, California. They came down and they ministered to us. I was a year old in my salvation, and they preached, and there were some college students that preached. And I told myself, Lord, if you can use these young fellows like these guys, they're only 18, 19 years old, you can use this 22-year-old young man. And that's when God called me to preach. God called me to preach, and I used to stutter real bad. Have you ever met anybody that used to stutter real bad? I couldn't say a word. I had a hard time talking. And I worked at the bank, and I hated working up front at the counter because I would serve customers. I hated talking to people. When they posted me at the back office, I was happy. Amen? I'll do my own thing. I'll do my own work. And I'll do, I'll be working on my computer and stuff like that. But when God called me to preach a year later, Brother McKinley, you wouldn't realize what happened. God, I think, pulled my tongue out 2 inches. And like the way I stuttered today, you wouldn't even know I used to stutter. Amen? I'm talking about the power of God. I mean, there was no surgery, nothing. And then when God called me to preach, I was 23 years old by then. And my preacher told me, he said, if God's called you to preach, we're going to send you to Bible college. And I said, oh, what are you going to do at Bible college? I said, you're going to learn you're going to learn God's word. You're going to learn how to preach. And I said, okay. And so the last Sunday, was going to be my Sunday service there. The following Thursday, I was going to fly out to Los Angeles. And they did a farewell service for me. You know, like we always do, we do a potluck service. They brought food and everything. And Sunday night, I got a call from my preacher. My preacher said, Brother Navi, Mr. Akwe wants you to see him in his office tomorrow morning. Well, that Thursday, I was supposed to fly out. And my preacher said, okay, Mr. Akwe wants you to go see him. Mr. Akwe started coming to Victory Baptist Church, where I started going to church. And Mr. Akwe was the only millionaire and was in the finance minister in the government. Well, I did not want to, you know, entertain, you know, his status. I just wanted to know, I memorized two scriptures, and they were 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that calleth you also will do it. Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I said, Lord, if you've called me, faithful is he that calleth me, and you will do this. My preacher knew that I did not have any money saved. I was a 22-year-old man, young man, working, not saved any money. Have you ever met those people? Any young people, you know, that work full-time job, didn't save any money? That's how I was. And only my preacher, my mom, and my parents, and my preacher, and myself knew that I did not have any money. So I went up to the office of Mr. Akwe. And Mr. Akwe said, what's that stuff we had at church yesterday? They farewelled you for what? Where are you going? And I said, I'm going to Bible college. And he said, well, okay, how are you going to get there? I said, by plane. He said, no, you don't understand what I'm trying to ask you. Where is the money for you to go to Bible college? I just memorized two verses, and that's all I knew. And I said, God's going to get me there, because 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says this, and Luke 9:62 says this. I gave him the verses. He said, well, verses cannot pay your plane ticket. You know, he was just, you know, up front with me. And I said, I know that, but I know God will provide. And he said, have you made any arrangements? And I said, yes. I already got my bookings at the flight center. You know, back then, 25 years ago, you could book at the flight center and come and pay right before you fly. How many of you remember that? Now you can't. You have to, I guess, book and pay, right? And they send you their e-ticket and all that kind of stuff. Well, he said, I don't think if they've got your plane ticket still reserved on there. And so he says, call the airline. So he calls the airline, and the airline said, yeah, we've been trying to look for him. He came in, booked his ticket, never came back to pay. We are going to cancel his ticket. And the minister said, no, don't cancel his ticket. I want you to bring his ticket to my office. I mean, this is the guy that, he's the mover and shaker of the islands. You know, he's telling Qantas Airline, bring his ticket up here. And they said, okay, sir, we'll be there in about half an hour. Half an hour later, you know, there's a knock on his door, and there's a, you know, dignified man, you know, sales rep, bringing the ticket. And I said to myself, did I hear him say, bring my airline ticket to his office? And then when I see the guy bringing the ticket, I said, man, I should have told him about my college bill. Amen? So that he could include it in it too. Well, he told me, he said, well, Brother Navi, here's your airline ticket. And he said, oh, what are you going to do with your school bill? I said, 1 Thessalonians 5:24 and Luke 9:62. He said, well, that's not going to work. Those guys in America, they want money. If you don't have the money, they're going to send you right back on the next plane back to the islands. Well, I had the packet that Dr. House emailed, you know, sent me. And so I had that packet with me, and I said, well, I got some paperwork here. And he said, let me look at it. So he opens the packet, and he says, well, here's the deal. Here's the finances that you're going to come up with on your first semester. How are you going to come up with $2,500? I gave him those two verses again. Those are the only two verses I knew when I was saved. Amen? And he says, okay, hold on a minute. So he calls down to the bank and he says, I want you to bring a bank check payable to PCBBC for the amount of $2,500. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, hey, the Holy Spirit got him. Amen? And so half an hour later, another bank officer is coming there and he's got a check. And he said, here's the check, sir. So, you know, he pays them the check for it. And he said, here's your airline ticket and here's your college bill for the first semester. He said, you go to Bible college and you work and you pay off for the next semester until you finish Bible college. I said, yes, sir. And he said, right before I walked out the door, he said, Brother Navi, you got to remember one thing. And I said, I turned back and I said, yes, sir, what's that? He said, make sure you go to Bible college and make sure you finish Bible college. And I said, I will. And he said, no, I'm not done yet. He said, if you don't finish Bible college, you owe me all that money. And I said, I will. Amen? I said all that to say this. What am I talking about? This is the power of God. That the power of God is inside of your heart if you've accepted him as your personal savior. Can you say amen to that? Let me tell you, he's not far away from you. He's so close to you, and he's in your heart if you are saved. Amen? And let me tell you something. If you're sitting here and if you're not saved, if you don't know for sure, if you die today, you're on your way to heaven, get saved. It is time that you accept Christ as your Savior so the power that I'm talking about can also be in your life. If the power of God can work with an island boy in the Fiji Islands, of course he can work in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Yeah? The gospel can work anywhere around the world only if you utilize the power. And let me tell you something. He is real because he died on the cross for your sins and for mine. But ye shall receive power. I want you to know that that's the commission number one that's been given to the church. Commission number two, the Bible says, after that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. How many of you remember Daniel in the book of Daniel when he was put in the lion's den? In Daniel chapter number 6, go there with me real quick. And I don't want to read the whole passage of scripture, but I want you to look at Daniel chapter number 6 in verse number 26. Daniel is supposed to have been eaten by the lions. How many of you remember that story? And then when the king peeped over the den, when he was supposed to have been eaten by the lions, he was surprised that the king saw Daniel sitting there. And he's probably saying, Brother Flanagan, hey, how you doing, King? You want a cup of coffee? You know, you want French vanilla with that? And the thing is, the king was surprised. The king was surprised because no hurt was found on him. The testimony of Daniel was so real in his life that it went through and was able to be caught by the king himself. Amen. In verse number 26, I want you to read this. I want you to follow after me. The Bible says in verse 26, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men trembled and feared before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who have delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Who is speaking here? The unbelieving king. Telling his nation, I want you to realize this. I want you to turn from your gods and turn to the God of Daniel. Yes. Amen? And the thing is, the people turned. People saw the realness of Jesus Christ. How did he see that? He saw it in Daniel's life. I said that to say this. we are all surrounded by unbelievers. They live across the street from you. You work with them. You go to school with them. You feel at their gas stations. You eat in their restaurants. We all go places where there are unbelievers. And let me tell you something, those unbelievers are watching you and they're watching me. Live your life. We should live our lives like we need to change the world. Amen. And let me tell you something, we can. We can change the world. But what they see through us. You know, here in America, everybody's like independent and life is private, right? Some of you don't even know your neighbor's names. In the islands, it's different. Everybody knows your neighbor. Everybody knows what you're cooking. Man, that smells good. I think they're cooking curry chicken over there. You know, it's very, they cook with spices and all this kind of stuff. And if you're baking, your neighbor smells, you know, you're baking something and they come over. What are you baking? You know, they're just friendly like that, I guess. But here in America, you know, you all, you know, live a private life and stuff like that. But in the midst of that, you need to realize this, your neighbors still observe you. Did you know that? Your neighbors still know that you go to church and you dressed up for church 3 times a week. And you know what they say? Those guys must go to church somewhere. They're always going, at least every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. And Wednesday night. And that tall preacher, have you seen him? He comes around every now and then. Yeah. And the thing is, people observe you. They know where you are. People that you work with, they know where you live. In a town like Carlsbad, they probably, people know who you are and what's going on. But let me say this. If you've got the power, you've got the Holy Spirit on you, and you need to make an impact on the world. Amen. Amen? You can make an impact in your neighborhood. You can make an impact on your family. You can make an impact in your city. And let me tell you something. Before you know it, people are wondering, why are they different? And the thing is, you can make a difference by having compassion, like Jude 22 says. Amen. Bible says that you shall receive power. And ye will have the Holy Ghost upon your life. And going back to Acts chapter 1 in verse number 8, the Bible says, and ye shall be what? And ye shall be? Let me hear that again. Ye shall be? Witnesses. Do you know the whole reason why you're saved? The whole reason why you're saved, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, the reason why you're saved, I know number one is for you to be on your way to heaven, but number two, you need to be a witness. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you invited somebody to church? When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ? When was the last time you went out of your way and you gave a tract to somebody that you met? Maybe at the gas station or at the restaurant or, you know, at a place where you went, you know, maybe at the laundromat or whatever it is. When was the last time you told somebody about inviting them to Landmark Baptist Church? Guys, open your jack pocket like this. You got a pocket? That's your track rack. Amen? That's your track rack. Don't put your phone there. Go out these doors after the services, pick up gospel tracts over there, and stuff them in your shirt pocket. Amen? From tomorrow, wear a shirt that has a pocket. You know, they're godly shirts. You say amen, Brother Flanagan? Don't wear shirts that don't have any pockets. They're ungodly. You need to put these gospel tracts in there so that you can carry tracts so that when you're out in the neighborhood doing your work or whatever you're doing, you can be able to remind yourself, I need to pick up a tract and give it to this friend of mine. Ladies, you need to empty your basket that you carry around there every day with you. You know, empty your Walmart receipts that you've got in there. for the last 6 months, stuff them with gospel tracts. Yeah. Some of you ladies, you got everything and everything inside that bag. Empty it tonight and put them with gospel tracts and information about Landmark Baptist Church. You know what? I don't know what other Baptist churches are in this town, but as far as I'm concerned, if you go to Landmark Baptist Church, you're going to be telling people about Landmark Baptist Church. Amen? How are the new people going to come in and fill the pews? It's going to be done by the old people inside here. I'm talking about members. Say amen to that? Yeah. The new members, the new people cannot come if we, the people that are already inside the building, do not do what we're supposed to be doing. Telling people about Jesus Christ. Letting them know there's a church in town that they can call home. Letting them know that there's a phenomenal preacher that'll preach to them every service, right? Yeah. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Sometimes we Christians, we get so comfortable in our comfort zones, we don't want to care about others. Well, who's going to tell them? Except they be sent, the Bible says. But before they're being sent, we, the members, have to do the Great Commission. What are you going to do about that? We need to fulfill the Great Commission. You know, years ago when I was in furlough, I met these guys from Fellowship Track League. I met them and they said, Brother Navi, we want to send you some gospel tracts. And I said, sure, wonderful. You know, we exchanged information, and when I got back to the field, they said, they emailed me and they said, we've sent you some tracts. And I said, great. So I wanted to know how many boxes they sent. And they told me that they sent container number so-and-so of gospel tracts. And I said, container number? Is it a container? They said, yes, we sent you a container. And I said, wow, how many tracts are in the container? They said, 5 million. I told myself, do you know that there are less than 1 million people in Fiji? Well, when the gospel tracts arrived, we still use them today. Amen? We send them to preacher boys and preachers that are planting churches. And we send them to churches that need them. Same thing happened with John and Romans. We met those guys from Bearing Precious Seed, and they did the same thing. They sent me a container of John and Romans, and today we're still using them. And it's wonderful that every year in September we hold a soul-winning breakfast. And we do a big breakfast, and we invite our whole church members to come, and they come, and you know, those islanders, they've never seen an American pancake preacher, they've never seen a good old fashioned bacon and stuff like that, and we just whip them up real good, and I make those eggs omelette. You know, I fix the omelette and it's really nice and juicy and cheese. And, you know, cheese is really expensive in Fiji. So we really make a good omelette with cheese in them. And, you know, just, anybody hungry yet? I make a real good omelette and stuff and pancakes and the whole thing and biscuits and gravy and all this good stuff. And we feed them and we send them to about our 7 to 8 neighborhoods in our town. And we send them with John and Romans and gospel tracts. And you know what? It's wonderful. If you go to any door in Ba Town and you knock them on there and you said, do you know anything about Liberty Baptist Church? They'll say, oh yeah. Liberty Baptist Church, we know. Pastor Navi. Amen? Amen? And the thing is, I can honestly say this morning, this evening, that you take me to any neighborhood in my town, I can tell you I've knocked on those doors with these knuckles for the last 16 years. What about you? We need to be challenged about telling people about Jesus Christ. We need to be telling people about Jesus. You know, in Fiji, it's really good. We don't have to say anything, Brother McKinley. We just make body movements, eh? Just body language. Don't say anything. Just in America, I guess you can't do that, you know. You start making body movements, people are like, That got kind of weird. But it's wonderful to be telling people about the gospel. How can they know for sure that they're on their way to heaven? I'll close with this, and I want you to go back to Acts 1:8. The Bible says, "And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the," what's the next word? Outermost part of the earth. Have you ever asked yourself the question, where is the outermost? Where is the outermost? I'll tell you where the outermost is. Anybody want to know? Where was Jesus speaking in this verse? Where was he speaking at? To his disciples. What city was he in? Jerusalem. He was talking there in Jerusalem, and he was talking to his disciples, and he said, "I want you to be witnesses in Jerusalem," right where they were, right where they are. And that means this is your Jerusalem, Carlsbad, right? And then I want you to be witnesses in Judea, into the state of New Mexico. And I want you to be witnesses in Samaria to the what? To the United States of America. And I want you to go to the outermost. And I know the outermost is the world. But have you ever asked the question, what spot is the outermost? What country? Well, I'm glad you asked. If you take a globe, you know what a globe is? Laid flat on a table. Take Jerusalem as the center. Take a thread, just like I'm showing you right here. Find the radius of the earth and swing that around to form the globe. And when you swing that around, the radius end of that thread will not hit any country except one country, which is the outermost. And you know what that country is? The Fiji Islands. Well, how do you prove that? This was proved by Dr. Carl Bowe. He's a scientist with NASA. Right here in Texas, that is, I think he runs the Creation Museum, something like that. And Carl Bowe has been to Fiji. He has a special compassion on Fiji because of this explanation. And he comes to Fiji almost every year. And he said, Fiji is the outermost because the international dateline cuts across the Fiji Islands. Every day begins in Fiji. Did you know that? The day starts in Fiji every day. And the whole world follows after Fiji. If you take the newspaper, it says the Fiji Times. And the small writings right underneath that heading. And it says, this is the first newspaper ever published in the world today. Isn't that something? How many of you remember Y2K? I was on deputation in 1999, and there were some preachers that told me while I was on the road, they said, "Brother Bola, you better get to Fiji before Y2K." And I said, "Okay, sure will." And so, Lord willing, I was able to raise enough support, and I went to the field in December before the end of the year of 1999. When I got to the field, I remember December 31st, CNN News, ABC, you know, BBC News, and every newscaster company in the world were in Fiji because they knew that Fiji would be the first nation to welcome in the year 2000, and they would Fiji would first experience Y2K. So they wanted to capture the first few things that would happen so the whole world could know. Well, I remember on that watch night service of 1999, after the services, we had about a few minutes left, and we were playing volleyball outside the church, and there was a big, commotion. They were making the countdown. How many of you remember that? 10, 9, 8, down to 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and Y2K is about to crash everything. And then the lights were still on. I said, turn on the faucet, and the water was still running. And I saw my phone. We still had reception. And went to the ATM. Could still say my balance. Caught after midnight, I called my preacher in Las Vegas, and I said, preacher, everything is all right in Fiji. Y2K has nothing to do with his new year. And he said, oh, thank you so much, Brother Navi. You know, everybody's like caught up with his Y2K stuff. And I said, well, if Fiji's okay on Y2K, the rest of the world should be all right. He said, yeah, you're right. Well, those newscasters went that same night to the island where the international dateline cut across. You know, one day is Saturday, one day is Sunday. Bad place to start a church, preacher, because church members would be skipping days on you. You'll never have anybody in church. But they wanted to focus and take a picture of the first sunrise. Everybody was there setting up their telescopes and their cameras. Well, the first sunrise came up for January 1st, the year 2000. It came and it went. What am I trying to say? I'm going to say this. Whether it's World War II, or whether it's Y2K, or whether ISIS is going to take over the world, or whoever's going to get into the White House this November, don't worry too much about it. Because as Christians, we need to be fulfilling the Great Commission. Amen. And that is telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Yeah. Well, I don't know what's going to happen to this world, this ISIS stuff, and I don't know if Trump's going to... Hey, you're watching too much television. Get off the news and get on the highway and tell people about Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. Get off Facebook and get in the book. Yeah. Hello? Yeah. And tell people about Jesus. I mean, you can tell people about Jesus. You know, you can text the gospel to them. You can, you know, there's so many ways to be a witness. We all have it in our fingertips. And we can be a witness today. What about you? Are you going to do something this week to be a witness? The builders or the battlers? Well, we want to see that. How are you going to see it? By witnessing. Amen. By witnessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this evening. Dear God, I pray that you will help us to be a witness. Thank you for Landmark Baptist Church. Lord, I pray that it will continue to use this church to be a lighthouse, not just here in Carlsbad, but also to the uttermost part and every nation in between. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor.